Okay, calling us back in, Congressman Keene.
Yeah, Chair Goodfox, I'd like to introduce a committee amendment to Bill ONC 2542. Page 2, line 60, 61, strike business commission and non-business commission. Page 2, line 60, after business board, insert health board.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. All right. I'm going to go back to the sponsor. Any more discussion on your committee sub that we've adopted that's now been amended so it's clean?
Yes, I feel like that it is clean, and thank you, Trey, for catching that so we can...
Yes, thank you for your patience, everyone.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman King.
So I'm glad that I was able to work with Congresswoman Revard. She's been a lot of help, but I want to make something clear. So as far as actually paying them, you know, we can still pay them the same. There's no problem with that. But now, by law, we don't have to. So I want to really emphasize that. Because, you know, we got a lot going on. We know a lot of these boards are somewhat similar. No two are identical, obviously. But, yeah, we can still, you know, set uniform pay. It's just now we're not shackled by that language where it has to be like that. So this kind of gives us more freedom to legislate. So thank you.
Thank you. More discussion? Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes, I have discussion for... sponsor and the co-sponsor concerning B, subsection 5103B. Let's talk about the changes that you have here compared to what is currently in code, because that is a major change that we have here.
Madam Chair, will you ask Congresswoman Lemon to use her microphone?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Is this better, Mr. Gill?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I'm asking about discussion concerning the changes in the term in section 5103B. And I've asked the sponsor and co-sponsor if they would like to just elaborate on the changes there and have some discussion on their reasoning for reducing the terms from 3 to 2 years.
Sponsor.
Thank you. I appreciate the question. And so since I've been serving on Congress, and I've also served as a board member, and I was looking at this and I was thinking, I will say from some of you that have served a long time that this was probably one of the maybe second Congresses that have actually really looked at the boards. And I think that Speaker Shaw, when she ran, she came out and she went for it, and she started addressing some of the board activity or the things that we felt like that needed to be put in place to make us have a uniform system so that we could start looking at our boards in a big picture manner. Okay, I just want to talk about that, just the way we were looking at it. And I felt like in that and going through that process and then participating in confirming board members or coming on in 2020 and there were already board members in place, looking at the qualifications, looking at attending board meetings to understand what is it they actually do. And I felt like we made some very strong changes, particularly in the gaming board, as far as qualifications go. And we actually looked at who was reporting to who and tried to make it where it was fair and consistent. And I think you'll see some of those changes too in Congresswoman Redcorn's legislation that she's filing with the tax board. And I appreciate it. I like us looking at this because I felt like we've had a weakness in our system there. Particularly, I go back to us having so many boards and so many board members. And looking at this system again, well, this to me was easy at first. Like, okay, I feel like if we had somebody that served as a board member and they decided this isn't really for me, or we decide, man, you know, I just wish they were a stronger board member. Yes, they're qualified, but I'm not, you know, I want them to participate more. I want them to be stronger as a board member. I want them to be engaged just like we do with elected officials. And I think we talked about that somewhat. And that's what I expect. I also, because they're taking the same oath as we are. So to me, they're an instrument in this government to help carry out our efforts. And even though they serve under the pleasure of the chief and under the executive branch, what we do is so important in putting those folks in there, qualified board members, to take care of an issue for us, working along with other board members to get a lot of our things done that we need done. Well, there were some board members that I felt like I didn't want to suggest or make a motion to remove. I just didn't want to, but there are some that I would. But what I'd rather do, just to be in all fairness, is to allow them the 2 year. And maybe even the chief, he's the one that has to send down the reappointments. But I'd rather be able to view a board member and their skill, their work, just like I am as an elected official. Are they bringing value to that board? And I'd rather address that every 2 years if I have the option. Now, our terms, of course, are in the Constitution. We're not talking about us, but I'm using us as an example. In that, I'm talking about what's expected of us because we all take the same oath. And I'd rather be able to vote and reconfirm a board member if reappointed every 2 years rather than three, rather than going down the removal piece. That is an option. But I also just felt like 2 years was better. It aligned with our voting, our schedule of voting when we vote every 2 years for Congress members, most certainly Congress members. And then during a chief election, you know, if we were to get a new chief, they come in and then you're kind of sitting there with board members that a past chief have actually appointed and that Congress confirmed. So I'm just, I'm not, that's just where I'm coming from as a single Congress member, but I'm open. And you, there's some of you that have sat here a lot longer than I have, and you've seen it a lot longer. But I did, as a board member, I resigned from a particular board because they weren't as active as I wish that they would have been. But it was an option for me to resign. And so have I reached out to current board members? Not as much as I probably should, but I do know that there are board members that wish, like, well, this board doesn't move as like the way that I thought they were going to. Maybe they're inactive. And so I just wanted to bring it up for the committee to look at. And I don't want it to be a deal breaker. I'm open, but I just felt like, why three? Why not two?
Thank you. Any other member?
Chair.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. So I kind of had the same thought process and kind of line of questioning about the years. And I've stated my case and my point. On the odd number year, I do think it creates the neutral across administrations when you stick with odd numbers. I also think it creates some consistency and longevity. But I mean, also your points are fair and they're very valid. So all that to say, and I won't go into any more on that because I've stated it before. I really don't know where I land on the 2 and 3 year thing because I do see your points and I have my feelings. But either way, my question though is as we're talking about this, it makes me wonder what happens to those that we have recently confirmed 3-year terms. And then let's say also that some of these confirmations that we have on us on our agendas right now come out ahead of this legislation. Does it just make it to where everybody is now 2 years and not 3 years? Does it, no. Do we have, basically I'm saying, does it address those that we already have in 3-year terms? How does that work?
They would stay there, Congresswoman, because this isn't something that's retroactive. So the people that we have confirmed that are sitting in seats that are there for 3 years will continue to stay there for 3 years. And in the event that we, Trey, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the event that we send out this week 5 people for confirmation and their term is for 3 years, they will be there for 3 years. And in the event that we pass this legislation out, fast-tracked it and voted it through and it was signed by Chief next Monday, anyone that we confirmed after that would be for 2 years because it would have been signed by the Chief with an alternate effective date, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So there is the answer, Congresswoman Redcorn. If they're already in a seat, they're there for 3 years. If we are to confirm 5 people between now and next week, and then we don't send this legislation out that's passed by this body and signed by the Chief until the week after, they will be in that seat for 3 years.
Okay, that's kind of how I felt like it would go. And so I guess I want to ask the sponsor if she's okay with that frame of thinking and frame of operation. Because this will not apply to very many people very soon.
Yeah, I understand. That's fine. And that wasn't my intent. I wasn't really, focused on, oh, good, this will be like we only get 2 years. That wasn't my intention. My intention was that that we provide a better term limit for the current board structure that we have.
Thank you.
So I just have a quick comment and then Speaker and then Congresswoman Lemon. So I'm one of those people where I like the 3-year. I'm really listening and I'm trying to compromise. I'm trying to hear what you're saying and I'm kind of getting there. This is what I will say. Say we pass this out and 5 years down the road, it isn't something that the members that are sitting here care for, agree with. It can always be changed back. I'll say that. And I think if I was to support this, that's kind of where my reasoning is coming from, is that we've tried 3 years. I personally don't have a problem with it. I believe that board chairs have a duty to do their job as chair and get people to meetings that haven't been showing up, get people to engage, get people to be prepared. That's part of the job of being a chair. And that doesn't just include boards and commissions. That includes our chairs. We all chair something, and it's making sure that the clerks have sent us our proper documents and that our agenda is advertised in advance, that people know what we're doing. And the board chairs are no different. So I like 3 years. I was gonna be a hard no. Like, I like 99% of this bill, but that's one thing I can't get behind, and I may vote no for the whole thing, but I'm kind of like, well, I really don't care for the 2 years. I think it should be left at 3, but I may be like, man, I don't like that, but the majority of Congress does, so I'm willing to vote yes for it. That's where I'm at. Speaker.
Thank you. So I am somewhat on the same thought path as you are. With this, I think that I think three is fine. I think that two, I just don't know how much difference it's going to make going from 2 years to 3 years. It'll allow us to maybe change the board the way the board looks. And maybe that's a good thing to bring new ideas and those things more frequently than 3 years. So I could see the benefit there. I guess I'm thinking if I were a board member and I've not been on one of our boards, a 3-year term, maybe a little bit too long. So I guess I'm kind of leaning towards the 2-year for a couple of different reasons. I'm really on the fence on this one, but I think it's a good change, but also don't think that we can go wrong either way.
Congresswoman Lemon, and then Rivard.
Thank you. I appreciate this discussion because it's just a year. And so you think, okay, just a year. And we're like, but we've been stuck with some pretty disappointing board members. And we know that we have. And we've been also, you know, down here before, knowing that the vote was going to be close, knowing that, you know, it could go either way, you know, with the board member that this body feel strongly about, and maybe it only gets 7 votes, which yes, that's the majority, but that's really not, you know, saying that we 100% support your appointee, Chief. It's something that Congresswoman Rivard said that I hadn't considered that has really makes me lean more towards two, which I was already there anyways, but at the same time, I hear what Congresswoman Goodfox is saying. And Congress and Speaker. So, but when you talked about a new administration coming in, and if we just, let's just hypothetically say we just confirmed, you know, let's say hypothetically we confirmed some board members in Hunka right before an election in June, and that particular administration is definitely, you know, gives them a little bit of time, is definitely not happy with them, right? Let's say it gives them 6 months, you know, 6 meetings, you know, and just really not happy, but they're still going to be there for 2.5 more years. And, you know, of course, the chief could ask them at the pleasure to resign. And that's, so that makes you realize, okay, well, then 3 is not that bad if we do a 3-year term, because it's at the pleasure of the chief. And if the chief, if I was on a board, the chief come to me and said, will you please resign? I would most likely do that, absolutely. But I could also see myself saying, you're overstepping your bounds in other ways, you know, because you don't like the way that I vote. And so it's one of those kind of, you know, give or take. So I'm kind of on the fence too. I do have a question for the sponsors and the for both sponsors. Do we has there been discussion with executive concerning these changes, specifically the topic we're talking about now? And the reason I ask is because, you know, we're up against the veto deadline, and, you know, we might end up seeing a line item veto. There's a possibility, you know, or just a complete veto. So can you just elaborate on that?
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have not talked to Chief about this bill. I have talked to him about a couple other bills that I've sponsored this year, and but I have not actually focused on this one because I knew we were still in committee. I knew we were going to adopt a committee sub, and I would like for him to look at it, because again, Kahika has been here a long time in our government, and he served as a Congress member as well, and I would like to hear from him, and I'd like to hear from Assistant Chief too, because of their longevity with our government, because it really goes back to me, for me, you know, the qualifications, just like they put on us as elected officials. I really wish that were able to work together and create this board training that Congresswoman Lemon had intended. I mean, the bill passed, but we don't know what that looks like because it was never implemented. And I really thought, man, that is going to be the bill that actually starts looking at this. So I wish that the executive branch and this branch were working together to look at this, because we did in the beginning when we even were talking about a super board. And it was like, let's look at this so that we can, you know, always better our boards. And again, we also, as a Congress, said we were going to look at our packets. They're outdated. The qualifications, I mean, on our the questioning, I think, on our packets, we were going to address, and we haven't yet. But I'm very proud of the fact that we went in and started looking at some of the qualifications, particularly in gaming. I felt that was very important, and I really see it in the Osage LLC as well. You really have to have the economic development background. What I'm seeing in some of our enterprise boards, they really need that financial background in reading financial statements, but also analyzing that data to make better decisions. And so that helps me when I vote for folks, you know, that sit on these boards as far as the enterprise goes. But then you don't need the qualifications to sit on a veterans commission is that you're a veteran. And nobody's going to question that, or you shouldn't. I mean, a veteran's a veteran, and they bring that quality to that board or commission. So for me, I think qualifications, I would be open if this committee said, Jody, we can't deal with the two. Then, okay, can we focus back then on the bigger picture? Because if we look at all of our boards, we set our qualifications, and CCOPECA, I think that's in their act, same as gaming. Okay, the Osage LLC qualifications, I think, are stated in their articles or their bylaw. I think it's their articles. But I feel like maybe if the committee, that's something I wouldn't mind doing during our my term, is to look at that again. Because if you look at the big picture of where we define qualifications and things of that nature, it's kind of all over the place. This act actually just sets up and deals with compensation and where you put a board, like in these categories. That's really what this does. And it does set the terms. But then your qualifications are found within each entity as you describe them with whatever instrument you're looking at.
Congressman Keene?
Yeah, I haven't consulted with the executive branch. I probably won't. So here's a few. One, state and federal lawmakers are elected for 2 years. I'm going to be honest. There's Congress members who don't go to a lot of the meetings we have outside of here, gaming meetings, utility board, all kinds of stuff. There's no check, really, right? So like Congresswoman Lemon said, we've had bad board members. If they serve 3 years, where's the check coming from? We're not going to remove them. We're not going to go that far. So what this does, this gives them a 2-year check, basically. It provides us more oversight to do that. Again, we elect federal legislatures for just 2 years. These boards do serve under the executive branch. We're the check, though, us and the executive. And I'm sure even the executive, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. They probably don't even check on a lot of these board members. So they're almost like free agents a lot of the time, right? So with a 2-year term, you get in, you serve your people. It's an honor. You come up again for 2 years. That gives us the check, because there's no other way for us to, you know, monitor that. And if executive's pleased, if we like the work, chief has the constitutional power to appoint him again. We can confirm again. But to me, like I said, it is kind of hard because we are oversight, but there's not that directness, you know. These boards have autonomy. So this kind of keeps us closer and working together and helping them in that manner. So those are kind of my thoughts about it. And I've even served on a board before. Right after I got out of law school, I was on the utility board. We met, you know, once every month or 2 months. But yeah, so I think that kind of gives me a good insight too of how maybe Congress could help provide better oversight. So thank you.
Okay, I have APC and then Speaker. Go ahead, APC.
Debbie, okay, yeah, sorry, I was trying to get unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so I haven't talked to the chief about this. He's at a banquet in Tulsa this morning. My thoughts are he would not veto it, and he would be somewhat neutral about this. You know, Congresswoman Rivard mentioned, you know, wouldn't mind hearing from those of us that have been around for a while. One thing that I would consider is that when we appoint or ask these individuals to serve on these boards, that, you know, the confirmation process is kind of dicey and it gets political. And when people are voted down, obviously there's some heartburn there. So I would vote for the bill. I like the changes, but I would keep it at 3 years. Those are just my thought that, you know, comparing it to the, like the state house, they've got to run every 2 years. I think that's kind of, I don't agree with that. Seems like you're always in political running mode if you're running every 2 years. I'm not saying that the board members would be that way, but I think 3 years provides a little more stability. But if I were the chief and it were sent to me with the change to 2 years, I wouldn't veto it. But I would prefer, if I were on Congress, I would vote to keep it at three.
Okay, I have Speaker and then Congresswoman Rivard, unless you're directly going to respond to that. All right, then Congresswoman Rivard and then Speaker.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Assistant Chief, for jumping, you know, in to speak to this, because I do, you know, I do care what you have to say about this. You've been here a lot longer than I have. And I think one thing Assistant Chief and I have in common is the longevity with the government from, you know, the resolution form to where we are now. And as long as, you know, as well as others, but you know, this is very political. You're right, Assistant Chief, in that I've seen this, and it's worked both. It's good and bad that we look. Sometimes I've seen chiefs in the past appoint folks that maybe aren't all the way qualified because it's an election year and they want that family's vote. So they'll go and they ask that family, you know, well, let me appoint you to this board and in hopes that they may get favor from the family. And then it's hard on a Congress member to sit here that's running for re-election to vote no. Now, because the qualifications aren't in the law, it's hard for them to say, oh my gosh, I really don't want them, but that's a big family. And they bring a lot of votes. And then what happens is we forget about the entity itself and what that entity needs. And if we are better and describing what that entity needs with regards to qualifications, it may help. Because we don't want it to be a political position. I like what Congressman Keene said. When I was appointed, I don't think it was for votes. I think it was that they understood that I had worked at a nonprofit and that I may bring some value to that board. And I most certainly was qualified to serve on that board. But I also resigned from that board because they were inactive. I thought I was going to get on the foundation board and we were going to fundraise like I was used to, and that you were, you know, that this was going to be a wonderful time for me to be like, you know, I'm like, where's the office? Well, there's not even an office. There's still not an office. You know, and I just thought, man, this is going to be a great board to serve on. It's going to be active. And, you know, what better than to be a philanthropist, you know, for our people? But not making a change because it's political, I don't agree with. And I'm not saying that's what Assistant Chief is saying, but he did make a good point. It is political. And I hate that, is what I'm trying to say. We have a lot of great Osages out there that are talented. And we still kind of do the old way of like, well, let me call oh so-and-so, or let me help. I need help finding a board member. You know, other folks, you know, you can, it's like a resume. You can send out and say, I have positions on a board. Is anybody interested? We've never tried that to see what would come back. I know a lot of folks that could sit on an education board, a health board, an LLC that have a background, but we don't really do that. What we do is we look and we act like it's a hardship to find a board member. Back to what Congressman Keene said, there's a lot of people that serve because it is an honor. And they want to actually serve our government. They're very proud of that. Now, would they be offended that it's from 2 to 3? No, I wasn't. I would have been like, if it were a year, I'd have been like, man, I'm excited. Let's do this. My chief has called me to ask me to serve on a board. And but then after you're appointed or confirmed and you get there, you might be like, oh, wow. Oh, this isn't what I thought, and I got to be here for 3 years. Well, then you are just getting a check. And I think what Congressman Keene is saying, check and balance, but I'm saying actually now, it's still our people's money. And there are board members that are currently serving that our people do not agree need to be there. They question it because their comments are like, they're traveling all the time, they're drinking, they're having good times, but I'm not seeing anything. Our people are very critical. Well, I want that honor to be justified and complemented by a 2-year term.
Speaker.
Thank you. You know, sometimes I think that when our people are appointed to a board, they don't always understand just how political it really is and can be, depending on what board it is, and also how much impact that they could have, depending on what board. So, I mean, it is important. I think it's important that we put a lot of thought into this. And I still, you know, am kind of on the fence about whether 2 years or 3 years, what the pros and cons might be. Congressman Keene had some good words that sort of brought me over to the 2 year side. But I could, you know, I could advocate for both of them. I think the most important thing for us is not necessarily the term, because we have seen Congresswoman Reavers since we've been on here and served with all the other Congress members. We've seen boards work very well, and we've seen boards not work well, right? So I think it's just important that we focus on the fact that these boards are important. I think sometimes they're an afterthought, and the people that are even appointed are, you know, sometimes an afterthought. Very rarely, though. I mean, I have to say that as someone who goes to a lot of board meetings, we have some folks who really care. And so putting these things and the structure into place is fine. But, you know, still, I'm not sure that 2 years or 3 years is going to make a difference on the quality of people that we get. So I'll support this either way. I'm not going to amend it. I'm not going to vote no because of it, but I do think it's important, and I'm glad that we're discussing it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have a point of order.
What is it?
I was going to report this out, but do I have to do it as a committee sub?
Yeah.
Okay.
As amended.
As amended, and date and time, or just as the committee sub as amended?
Just the committee sub as amended, because we've already made record of the date and time when we adopted the committee sub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear from executive, but I do think that we've discussed and this at length, and I don't know where everybody else is going to feel about it, but at some point on the floor, I would like to hear, and I'm to reach out to find out, you know, 2 or 3, where they're at on it. But motion to report bill number ONCA 2542, committee substitute as amended to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Motion and a second. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. All right, we are now on ONCA 2555, an act to establish a food assistance program that will provide a food benefit through the Butcher House Meats to eligible Osages annually, and to establish an alternate effective date I am the sponsor. Congressman Hamilton is the vice chair. He is not here today, so I'm going to just, without objection, stay chairing the meeting. Jan, thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate it. I'm going to just give a brief update to the members that are here. I reached out to membership. The current enrollment is 26,489 members, and 18 and above, there are 18,777 members over the age of 18. If we were to fully fund this at $250 based off of today's enrollment over the age of 18, it'd be $4,694,250. Don't know what it looks like for members voting on this, if they would want to fully fund. Listen, we've talked about a few options. We've talked about what does it look like if we do what we have done in the past with other direct services that benefit the people and say, this is what it's going to be funded at for the year. And after the money runs out, then it runs out. We're not going to appropriate anymore until the next year. We start kind of getting into policy, right? A little bit of what does that look like? Does that mean that the next year you're not eligible for it if you received it the year before? Because we want to be fair that it's people have time to see the advertisement and to get their paperwork in. It's not about the people that can run up the hill and turn in their form right then and there. And then they're, you know, it. So there's a lot of very good discussion on this, but I'm going to turn the floor over to Jan because she has not quite all the information today. It's coming probably at the end of today or tomorrow, but the information that she's gathering, I want the members and the of this committee and then the members that are present and here to can think about anything else that you may want to know before the next meeting so that Jan can try to get that information as well. So Jan, go ahead.
Thank you for letting me be on today. As Congresswoman Goodfox mentioned, I don't have all of the information today. We're waiting on some final quotes to be able to put together a draft budget on what this would look like as far as implementation. We're waiting on shipping quotes so we can kind of gauge what that looks like. That's kind of one of the important things. And then some other smaller quotes. But yes, we're trying to look at this as far as implementation goes a few different ways and have some of those options kind of on paper, you know, for different directions to best implement this starting October 1st so that we're successful from the beginning and we don't get, derailed from the very beginning, for lack of better words. But we're looking at right now a phased approach so we can ease into this and be successful and meet the needs of the program. So if there is any specific information that you're interested or need, we can work on that absolutely and have it all together at the next meeting.
Thank you, Jan. You mentioned in our conversation equipment acquisition. You all might need some additional equipment to see something like this through. Can you kind of, I mean, we're not asking for solid numbers and we're not even asking for solid answers on what equipment you might need, but what can you give us some sort of guesstimation of what you guys are looking at or talked about? Discussed. Just anything
yes.
You discussed.
So we have discussed, like one piece of equipment is a portioning and forming machine. So this particular piece of equipment, if you've had your meat processed or go buy meat, like ground, it's in like a kind of a round block. This particular portioner would make those flat. So as far as like shipping, it like keeps things like more organized and like you can layer those, and it's just, it would reduce the amount, like the size, the volume of a package. So just trying to think about things like if we are going to be able to ship, how can we consolidate the size of package to reduce the overall cost of shipping? Just little things like that, that'll help streamline the program.
And you also mentioned possibly, you mentioned the phases, but you also mentioned like having, if you receive so many orders that part of them go out at one part of the year and the other half go out at another part of the year. Can you speak to that just briefly?
Yes.
And again, we get that you're not, that there, no decisions have been made. They're just discussions that you're having.
Yes, that is correct. We, I was talking with the plant manager at Butcher House, and we were just discussing logistics, especially in terms of like first year implementation. So we had talked about for constituents who make an application and are receiving the funds, possibly like year one doing a meat box. So it's a distribution of the same meat box to all the participants, maybe twice a year, for example, just something like that. So everybody's getting across the board a consistent box. So it's fair and it's, you know, up to the amount within the legislation, but it helps Butcher House plan accordingly. So it's, you know, a few items and it's all the same. We've discussed a card that you can swipe using our point of sale system that exists at Butcher House. So that's another option. But when you, our fear going into that year one is if you can access all of the meat at Butcher House, which is fantastic. But in terms of planning to make sure that we have enough of all of the items on availability at the Butcher House, then that gets into some more kind of logistical issues. So especially like in terms of like first year implementation, we just thought that a meat box distribution, and like I said, maybe twice a year or something like that would make more sense to allow Butcher House to plan accordingly. But we're always open to other ideas if there's some other ideas.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes, thank you. And I really do, I like this bill. I do, and I like that we're kind of going slow with this direct service because what I'm, you know, what you made a good point, Chair, about the cost, and I'm glad you looked at that because it is so important. Like, let's see, how much is this going to cost us? But I was wondering, I like the idea that I'm able as a constituent to order when I need it. You know, I'd like to be able to say, you know what, I'd like to get steaks and a roast and some meat, you know, from our Butcher House, and I'd like to also order some vegetables and things from our harvest land, and I want to put my order in somewhere, and I'd like somebody, if they could bring it to me, that'd be great. If not, to me, it creates a job. That's fine. If not, because I, you know, of course I'm able and live here, but I'd rather go, well, let me run up to the visitor center at Pawhuska and I'll just grab my meat out of a freezer. You know, I want to talk more about the storefronts and about how not just, I'm talking about the whole issue at hand, like considering storefronts and a mobile, because I feel like the goal is that we're trying to get food to our people. It's about accessibility. That's what I'm hearing. So if somebody could bring me mine, but yet somebody else lives in Tulsa and they prefer it be shipped, then that's good too. Unless we actually started moving out towards Tulsa area, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But let's say it is somebody in Missouri. Then they have the capability of ordering meat so that we don't just have that as the only option. So I'm talking about oh, so how do you want to get our meat and vegetables? Well, I'd like to either go down, I'd like to go pick it up somewhere as I am able to now, or I'd like to order it, or I could have it shipped. I like having those options, but I am concerned about the demand. And we didn't put anything like that in our census, did we? I don't think that we asked, did we? Or in the strategic plan, I'm just kind of curious what people are saying about the food sovereignty piece or anything. I didn't know if Dr. Jan, if that's something that we could ask her to look into while she's gathering data.
Yeah, I can't recall if there was anything, but listen, Jan, you might reach out to Susan Barrow to get that information. If there was any question on that census that discussed food sovereignty and just what the needs are. Any other member? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm still in support of this. I don't know where you're at as far as how many more meetings we're going to have and if you're ready for us to take any action on it today, if you're wanting more information or if anybody else is wanting more information.
I mean, I think that we need to leave it on the agenda for the next meeting and wait to hear back from Jan on shipping equipment and any other thing that we can think of. There's a lot of moving pieces to this, and I hear Congresswoman Rivard say, I don't disagree with, if I'm a member, I want it when I want it. But we may not start out that way with this.
Understood.
And I really think that in the end, we probably shouldn't start out that way on this. We should start it out very slow and take and heed the advice from the secretary who is got people on the ground at Butcher House that says, there is no way we can take on possibly 18,777. Because you have to, to an extent, you have. Now, do I think that 18,000 people are going to apply? No, I do not. We do not have any direct service where there's 100% 100% participation and requests coming through. We do not. Not with anything, not with school clothes assistance, not with the storm shelters, not with the health benefit card.
COVID checks.
Not even for the ARPA checks.
Not even health benefits.
Yeah, so, and scholarships, we do not have 100%. But, is there the potential for out of that 18,000 for 5,000? Yeah, there is. And, I don't want to, we just need to take it slow. And so if the recommendation is from executive, we support this, but we're going to do it. We're going to have a deadline. People that want this assistance are going to have a 2-month window to sign up. And we're going to take the first half of, if it's 5,000 people, 2,500 are going to get their food distribution box during this month, and the other half are going to get it from this month, then I think that, there's nothing wrong with that. So I prefer to leave this in committee till at least the next meeting so that we can gather more information from Jan. And if there's anyone who has any more questions that they want Jan to look into, now is the time to ask.
May I follow up?
Lemon, Speaker, Rivard.
So I'm glad that we're going to leave this in committee.
Oh. Jan, is that you?
No, it's Whitney. If I can just get in the queue, that'd be great.
Yep, you're in the queue after Rivard.
Okay.
I am glad that we are going to leave this hearing committee because of all the things that you spoke about and all the other information gathering that we can get. And I think the biggest thing for me at this point is that we are talking about a fairly possibly large price tag, but it's paying ourselves. The money's not leaving the nation except for our shipping costs, most likely. And that, I believe, can absolutely be negotiated if they're through a really good contract, that if they're guaranteed a certain amount of ships, within a certain amount of year, whatever, however. But I do think it's important to stress this piece of it. And you touched on it, Madam Chair. You've given an outline for direct assistance to anyone over the age of 18 to receive MEET. But that, if you're a member of the Osage Nation, that's the outline. That's pretty simple, right? That's not the policy. And then anyone listening in, I need you to hear this. The policy is up to the executive branch. That is where I believe we get lost in translation with our constituency. And it's not us, it's just the point of understanding that the law is an outline. The implementation is up to executive. Will we agree on everything that they decide to implement? We will not, but we're also not walking in their shoes. And this is a whole new program. And so it's an opportunity to receive food, sustenance, and meat. But it's very important that we as a Congress, I feel like, that when we talk about this outside of here, phone calls, that we talk about the fact that we're not pointing fingers when we don't like the policy. We're just saying, hey, I may not agree with the policy. It's there. You can access it. This is how you have to access it. But the intent wasn't for you to have barriers, if barriers happen to come up in some way, shape, or form. And if it being a new program, a new direct assistance, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be probably major changes after they get through their first influx of orders or requests and everything. And that's where I feel like we get lost sometimes, and we might have a knee-jerk reaction. And I'm hoping that with that, because this is such a positive initiative, that we can address it positively every time we come up against something that we may not agree with as a congressperson with the policy of executive, because I have a feeling they're on board, which is a wonderful thing. And I hope we can keep those lines of communication open. So that's really the biggest thing that I want to go forward, is that we're paying ourselves and this is an outline. How it's implemented, that is up to whoever is on the Hill. Thank you.
Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. So 100% I agree and did on all your comments. And Jan, when you're going through the process of the list of things that we need to take into consideration, also remember that not everyone has even freezer space for that amount of meat. So I kind of like the idea of the card and for folks to be able to get it when they can. You know, if you don't have a standalone freezer, you may not be able to accommodate that at one time. So I'm glad that you're going to look into all those things. I'm just looking forward to the program because I think it's very much needed. And I think that our members are going to really, really, really be appreciative. So it's a good one.
Thank you. Rivard?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I was thinking also, again, when I comment about, I'll pay for my own, is what I'm saying. I would love to, if I had the ability, just like I do now, to go to our butcher house and Harvest Land, which I do, and I try to purchase my meat, and I like to support, you know, getting the vegetables, and I love where we're growing, especially with the farmer's market. And I still wish that, you know, and I feel like we are now consolidating funds to create a wonderful farmer's market. And I like the food sovereignty effort of mobility. But there, back to, I think I want you to keep in mind, I know you are, Dr. Heyman, Secretary, your operational cost, because it would, you know, the highest cost is going to be equipment, but also people. We'd have to employ more people. And also where we would do this and what that looks like. And I know you're looking the same, but I like having options like A, B, and C. And this is what this looks like if we choose this scenario and this cost. But, you know, I really go back to, I like to create programs based off of need. And if, you know, if someone's eligible because they have a moderate income, well, I'd rather them have the direct service than myself, where I can just order and pay for it. And I just think that
because it goes back to what I'm saying, I think Congresswoman Lemon, and I can tell in your intent of your bill, is that accessibility. I want us to be able to have I'd like to be able to have this meat and the veggies, like I say, but I don't mind paying for it myself. It would be nice to say, oh, I've made an order and they're going to bring it to me. I'll be wonderful. But I also would like for them to consider the storefront options as well in their scenario. Thank you.
Okay. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. So Speaker touched on what I was thinking about with freezer space, and that lends me to thinking about, which I'm sure Dr. Heyman has already thought about, would be that cost and that shipping contract, because it would be more frequent shipments, maybe just splitting it into two shipments or something. I don't know. Again, she can come up with that. But I think it's just a cost consideration in that contract, just because, like, I have the freezer space, but somebody like my mother-in-law, who would really benefit from something like this, she does not have the freezer space, but she may have freezer space for $125 at a time or something along those lines. Anyway, Speaker touched on that. But then I want us maybe to have a discussion with Treasury. I really like how you've laid this out for a future situation. I think that's really smart. And I think that's smart of us as a Congress to lean into that structure and think forward about the effects of these things forward. So I think one of the questions I have, though, is, and I think it will be a positive impact, but is there any effect on then our future need to not have to put any more capital every year into, not anymore, maybe less capital every year or something? How does this affect basically the need for tribal funds to Butcher House? If this program is being implemented and this revenue is going, or this money is going into them and it's infusing into them, would this then possibly decrease our need for tribal dollars later?
It's a good question. We don't have Treasury on the line, but we do have the Chair of Appropriations here, and someone who's been with the government in a different capacity over the course of the last 30 years. And well, I will say that, yes, it has the potential to offset. And I think that we see that in different scopes, right? Like, so Dr. Hunter's historic prez, she receives, what is that, leasing money?
Well, we get, she was able to charge for her services.
Yes, so we have seen an offset in things that have the ability to pull money in. And as Chair of Appropriations, I mean, Treasury's not on the line, so how do you see that working?
I think that's a great point, and that's part of that scenario. I really feel like Treasurer Batson has he and his team really have they're actually able to analyze program income right now. And we've been looking at this, and I think Dr. Jan Heyman is too, because now she's had these programs underneath her this long that she's able to see and talk about her income. And I think she scheduled Commerce, Gaming, and Land maybe to speak about her current program. And I think I would ask everybody to attend if that's the case, because this is us talking about how much revenue she's generated. But most certainly, especially in grants too, if we have grants that can help us with our food sovereignty, and that could also help deflect some of our cost, you know. But again, you know, I feel like we could look at her income, and again, what creates the revenue is demand. It's definitely demand. But we got to make sure that we have that too for her, because that's going to cost us. That cost of goods sold that Congresswoman Stabler always spoke about, you know. You have to really look at that. And I feel like with Dr. Heyman and Treasurer Batson, and his team looking at this as far as the revenue goes, I think it's very important, because with the different scenarios, we'll help us decide how much revenue we're going to generate. So, but I think that's a great question, and I think it's something we should look at. It's going to be what drives us, most certainly, or a party, or a component of it, for sure.
Thank you. APC?
Yeah, thank you. This is a great idea, in my opinion. Something I've kind of, I don't know, want to say envisioned or visualized for the last 15 years or so. Even when we bought the, or we'll get to the Lynn property on the hill. I mean, I could just see something like this, where we provided meat and vegetables and fruit and stuff to our constituents. And kind of keying in on what Congresswoman Lemon said earlier, and it's been discussed, and others have mentioned it, the cost, yes. I mean, we will definitely be taking money out of one pocket and sticking it in another. And that is different from the other services that we are providing. Burial assistance, our scholarships, and the health benefit. This one here, we are actually, again, I don't see it much of a losing proposition. We're using our own money, and we're putting it into a service that we can provide to our citizens. Not to say that, you know, educating our youth and them coming back and working for the nation. That's a different benefit. But this here, I see, is almost, like I said, taking it out of one pocket and stick it into another. I love this idea. I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. We are scheduled till noon, and it is 11:54. I will just say this, that I have had a couple of conversations with some individuals, including the secretary, where I may amend in harvest land, right? Because we have people that are vegan or vegetarian that would maybe prefer the salsa or the fresh vegetable from harvest land and not butcher house completely. I get it. So that's a possible amendment to this. And other than that, I guess we're all talked out for right now on this. And Dr. Heyman, we will hear from you at the next meeting. In the event that you don't get the information that you are thinking you might get today, just shoot me a text and let me know, and we can always put you on next week's agenda, because we've got a meeting next week as well.
Okay, I will be in communication.
Okay, all right, thank you so much, appreciate it. All right, Chair will entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 2555 to the call of the chair.
Certainly.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no, it passes, thank you. All right, we have one remaining, we have 5 minutes and one remaining bill. It's whatever the committee wants to do. We can place this on Thursday's agenda at the top, if the committee is okay with that. Well, we've got 5 minutes. What do y'all want to do?
That sounds good with me.
Okay. All right. Then the chair will entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 2556 to the call of the chair. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. All right. Well, that'll be at the top of the agenda on Thursday, Congresswoman Rebard. And without objection, we're adjourned. Thank you, committee.